This is the Yukon Entrepreneur Podcast, and I'm your host, Carrie Johnston. This podcast is produced on the traditional territory of Champagne and Ajax First Nations in beautiful Dakwakatahange Junction. And this is a series for Yukon Innovation Week, all about how we're seeing innovation in health and wellness. I'm joined today by Lauren. Lauren, please go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey, Carrie. Hi, everyone. My name is Lauren Manikin-Bay, as Carrie just said, and I am 9 months out of the role of department head with Innovation Entrepreneurship at UConn University, and been living in the UConn for 8 years and just launching this kind of career in solo entrepreneurship. I'm now experimenting with what I've been encouraging people to do for the last 8 years of my time here.
That's wonderful. And so where are you focusing in terms of your market? Is it here in the Yukon, or are you looking outside, or where's your focus?
Yeah, thanks. So the work has been Yukon based. A day after leaving my role with the university, I embarked on work looking at those with privilege, and with privilege meaning choice. To look at the really tough questions that we are dealing with in the world, and what is encouraging people to step in and up to some of our most complex problems, to understand them and to give back and to help and to support, and what's keeping us away from that. So the first project was in relation to the opioid crisis. And because my network, thanks to the work with UConstruct, my roles with UConstruct, and then Innovation Entrepreneurship with the university and Northlight as a whole, my network has been kind of the leaders of the business community across the territory. So I dove into a 7-month project asking them about this idea of kind of care and compassion. And if we are seeing and reading the headlines of some of the deepest suffering that we have in our community, what's holding us back from stepping in to be a part of that, and then to be a part of the change? And then since then, I've gotten into some work with a couple of gentlemen, John Glenn Morris and Ryan Vandermeerl, to look at housing and some of the Residential Landlord Tenant Act issues that we have, and trying to come up with innovative solutions to move away from some of the struggles that we have now. So locally, but everything successful that I've done in my career is because I have tapped into a world, literally kind of around the globe, network of individuals that have helped me get to the work that get to where we're going. So.
And I mean, you had the opportunity to meet with so many great UConn innovators. So what does innovation mean to you?
So I struggle with the term for sure, because we in the territory have struggled with the term. But for me, innovation is anything new or existing that has to be reimagined, and how we go about that process of looking into the problem and recreating solutions. I wrote down this piece from Einstein around no problem can be solved with the same consciousness that created it. And in particular, since COVID and the work that we've done, I feel like everything is innovation, and everyone day in and day out is innovating. We are having a hard time understanding what happened yesterday, and we're having a terrible time predicting how to solve the problems for tomorrow. So what is being called of us as people is this work of innovation, of really kind of reimagining and redefining and coming together for new solutions. So I'm playing with the complexity of that, and how at the end of the day, I really believe that we just don't know so much. And there's an attitude that comes with not knowing, and we have yet to adopt that universally.
And how is wellness featuring into the work that you're doing?
I, Carrie, have deliberately stepped into some of the most complex problems that we're struggling with, because kind of personal values wise, I don't have any other option. So it's an ebb and flow. My husband were here, he would tell you that I'm constantly in and out of balance, and working with human centered systems, heart and human centered systems is a really complex issue and super challenging and also incredibly inspiring. So one of my superpowers is to be all in, and one of my greatest weaknesses is to be all in, and that comes with a lack of balance sometimes. What I'm trying to do is look at priorities in form of a triangle. So the priorities at the top of the triangle, and then if the things that come up in my day or my week fall into helping get into those, helping solve those priorities or meet those goals, then I'll consider it. Otherwise, I'm asking people to hold up real quick and I'll be back to you as soon as possible. I got to get these things done or else I'll go off.
What inspires you about the work that you're doing?
Carrie, I'm so inspired about how hard it is and how critical the work is. And as I said before, like there's no option but to jump into these really hard questions. And for us as a community to get comfortable with being deeply uncomfortable and then stepping into the stories and experiences of our others. So I'm inspired by how the work that I've done previous to leaving kind of the university and stepping into entrepreneurship really gets into that human element and how people are so desperate to be heard and to be seen and to be made feel like they're valuable. And in just a few months of being gone, how people are drawn to be part of the solutions once they are made to feel cared for and valued and seen. And then just the possibilities have been endless, and the solutions and the networks that have been built because people feel that way is unprecedented and has just a tremendous amount of potential. So I'm really inspired by UConners and those that have been ready to step out into really hard, murky, mucky work. No, hold on, you're mute.
I'm on mute. Gosh. What bothers you about the current system that you're operating in?
What bothers me is inevitable, Carrie. I think this is part of the challenge, the big questions that I ask myself day in and day out. But what the truth about what bothers me is how debilitating fear is, and how we let our fear, and this is normal, but we let our fear and our insecurities and our politics and our divisions hold us back from doing the right thing. And the right thing may be different for me and different for you and different for the listeners that are listening to this. But this fear that the complexity of the world and our suffering and the issues that we come into the world with are jeopardizing our psychological safety and our emotional safety, our physical safety. And it's keeping us from doing this really hard work of addressing the problem of these human crises that we're in, if I can quote Phil Gattensby about it. But it's normal. I've spoken to hundreds of people since this work started, and really around the world. And not one person is not suffering. There's such a deep sense, and suffering at different levels and different days it changes. But we feel alone, we feel disconnected. There's this deep level of distrust and hopelessness and helplessness. So I'm bothered by how there aren't more opportunities for restorative justice and for people to come together in conversation the way that some of this conversation started in the work that I did. But I hope to be able to get there. You know, it might be hopefully it's just the beginning, but I'm not the only one talking about this, which is a relief.
What do you think it's going to take to sort of transform the challenges that we're facing? Like, what's the call to action?
Carrie, I believe that there are 150 ways minimum, more or less, you know, but minimum to get out of these human crises that we're in. And we will not get beyond them until we find ways to do this solutions and systems change in 150 plus different ways. I've learned so much how every single individual, even if they're suffering from the same, like from the same addiction or from the same kind of personal, I mean, I guess addiction or personal pain or past trauma or whatnot still needs a different way to get out of it. So for me, what has worked in the pieces that I've started is meeting individuals where they are, listening deeply to their stories, and then asking them, like, given your truth, what will it take to get you to step in and step up to be a part of finding a shared solution to something much larger? And then you meet that person where they are and you come up with a solution that's going to fit them, or you connect with the right person. But it takes this work, Carrie, takes creativity, courage, and deep vulnerability. And again, a lot of people are ready to do it. They just need the avenue and the conduits to do it.
Living in the far north, we have this unique opportunity to view the world and view Canada from our unique Yukon perspective. What lesson do you think Yukon has to share with the world about innovation?
The First Nations people of this territory, and I know that I'm not the only respondent that have said that, have already shared a tremendous, have been already tremendous leaders in showing the world an example of self-determination and speaking their truth and putting on paper and creating systems that unlike anywhere I've been in the world. And I've been fortunate to live, work, play, volunteer in 28 countries around the world. There's nothing like what we have in the Yukon in relation to what the First Nations people have created for themselves. I believe that because we are so small, and I've said this before, that we're so small that we have the power to create a tipping point, which requires 11 to 25% of people behind a concept to create change. And because the power of this small community and the influence that I think that we can have if we really come up with the tried and true by humans, by at a human-centered spate of a level, come together to come up with solutions that not only Canada, but the whole world will turn to look at the example that we've created. And just from the, again, early work with the opioid crisis, which for me, again, thanks to Phil Gans, became the human crisis, is that we absolutely can do that in a grassroots sense, in partnership with government too. I think the government, I have deep conviction that the government could create a name for themselves around how to create a space or creating a space and fueling a space where people come together outside of silos and reimagine a future. I mean, Nelson Mandela did it. We did it in Rwanda, and some of the most complex human issues have where people come together and reimagine a new future has been tried and true. I mean, tested and proven to be beneficial. And I think that Yukon can be the next community that does that without a doubt.
I would say that definitely feels like a theme that we're hearing in this like series is the importance of collaboration and, you know, and what that will empower for Yukon community. What's next for you? What's next for you? Where are you seeing your opportunity?
Exactly in what you just said, that this feels like a common theme. I'm having several conversations because in every area of life, people are in the conversations that have come up kind of serendipitously or the ones that I've actually orchestrated, people are asking for new ways to go about having really hard conversations. And there are organizations around the world that are doing that. So this idea of embracing the power of community, I'd love to continue to work with the systems that are in place. And then these trailblazers that are often found at Northlight Innovation, just because I'm in that community, but across the territory, Tasha and Davida are doing it. John Glenn Morris and Brian Vandermeer are doing it. Some of our government ministers are doing it, looking at how to have conversations differently and more boldly. So I'd like to step into hosting and creating in a Yukon way avenues for people to have really hard conversations and come together and solve really big problems.
I love that. Dialogue at the community level is critical to, you know, getting through all the tough stuff.
Yeah, people are dying. inappropriate. People are desperate to belong to something. They're desperate to feel like, I said it earlier, they're seen, they're heard, they're valued. And the minute we create an opportunity for doing that, and we're doing that with the work with John and Ryan, is that 12 people from diverse backgrounds are coming together, and diverse and polar opposite backgrounds and viewpoints are coming together to see what does this new space look like and how do we redo this? And I hear your story and I can empathize and I have compassion for your story. And the other side is saying the same thing, and they're literally coming together to write policy considerations for the government for a new act that's coming out in 2025. Like it's magical when you just give people permission and then a safe place to do that work. Thank you.
That's fantastic. Lauren, do you have any final thoughts before we close out today?
I love the work that you're doing, Carrie. Thank you for helping me be involved in it, and just keep it up. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks.